Welcome to the Six Ways to Sunday podcast, hosted by award-winning television director, documentary filmmaker, author, and speaker Craig D. Forrest. Join Craig for the next few minutes as he interviews leaders, artists, and creatives about trends and insights shaping our digital world and faith-based media. This podcast is produced and brought to you by Matchstick Media International. Now, here's Craig.
Great time in a conversation in our last episode with Larissa Lamb, film director. Let's jump back in and pick up the conversation. Do you and only one have any children?
We have a daughter and we have her stage name as Lil One, you know, Lil W-O-N. So sometimes she's in on the act too when we perform. She's actually come on stage for a song or two. So she's definitely the budding little star there.
There you go. Now, one of my great loves, and it's what I've worked in for 40 years, is documentaries. How did you make the transition? You have one of your first documentaries, I think, is Finding Cleveland. Am I right?
Yes, that was our documentary short.
Yeah. How did you get into directing documentaries?
Well, it's interesting because kind of how I told you that story of how I ended up doing Nitro Praise and becoming a kind of a singer, an artist, is I happened to be at the right time at the right place. My husband dragged our whole family for his parents' 40th anniversary. This is back in 2014, to Mississippi, of all places. I'm a California girl, born and raised in California. I'd never been to Mississippi before. And my husband had told me something along the lines of his grandfather and great-grandfather were in Mississippi, buried there. And so they wanted to go visit the gravesite. So I said, okay, sure. Had no clue. And honestly, he just told me, like, our daughter was one at the time. He said, just watch after our daughter. Just stay out of our way. We're just going to do family stuff. Like, we didn't even know where, honestly, the gravesite was. My brother-in-law was calling City Hall and trying to figure out where all this is. And this was in Cleveland, Mississippi, not Ohio. So we took a plane. We went out there. And the rest is actually documented in not only Finding Cleveland, but which is a 13-minute short. It ended up becoming a feature-length documentary called Far East, Deep South that evolved. But really what happened was on that trip, and I'll maybe spoil a couple of things. It's one of the few documentaries you normally have to give a spoiler alert, because part of the beauty of this journey was the discovery and the surprises that went along the way. Because my husband, only one, is also Chinese American like myself. He was born here, but his father was born in China. And he had no idea of his legacy and the history that his family had here in the United States, in Mississippi. His dad never really wanted to talk about it because my father-in-law was only 1 year old when his father, Baldwin's grandfather, left, Baldwin, aka Only One, his grandfather left China. So he never knew his father. He grew up fatherless. Mm-hmm. And so when we went to Mississippi, it was really just to pay respects. I thought we'd put some flowers down on a gravesite and go home. And what unfolded in that first day is what we chronicled in Finding Cleveland, because we ended up finding a very important artifact there was a Mississippi Delta Chinese Heritage Museum in the middle of Cleveland, Mississippi. There is an artifact. I'll hint, it's a book, a really important book to people of faith, that may or may not be sitting at the Museum of the Bible right now. Okay. On loan, on a display. Slight spoiler alert. So we find a Bible, not just any Bible. We actually find Baldwin's grandfather's Bible in this museum.
Wow.
So that's why it's normally a spoiler, but for this audience, because I know not all of you may get a chance to watch the movie ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So that kind of, not only that, but we ended up encountering all these people that knew his family. And again, we went there knowing absolutely nothing. And more than that, the museum I mentioned, I was like, why is there a Chinese museum in the middle of Mississippi? Because growing up in the United States, I'm a product of the public school system. I never learned about a lot of Asian American history, except for maybe the Chinese helped build the railroads, and then maybe the gold rush. And there's really not a whole lot more about Chinese contributions. You even Asian contributions to the United States, you maybe get the story about Japanese internment camps during World War II, but largely that history is absent. And so when I was at the museum, like I had this like massive light bulb go off where I'm looking at all these artifacts and this history, and then they're saying the Chinese was also impacted by Jim Crow laws, and I'm like, wait a second, how come we didn't learn about this? You know, most of us growing up in the United States learn about the discrimination, sadly, of Jim Crow laws, where there was segregation between races, and normally we think of that as a black and white issue, but yet really it also impacted the Chinese and other people of color as well. And so there was all this history that just came flooding through that I felt like from the story, amazing story, and the testimony side, that was something. And the fact that there was this history that was really unknown, that caused me to say, hey, I think we should make a film about this, because it felt like a movie when I was there. Right. Experience it in real time.
Yeah, this became a journey. You know what? It sounds to me, and I haven't seen this film, and now I want to, this documentary, Far East, Deep South. It sounds like this was a journey of discovery.
It really was on so many levels. And, you know, you mentioned Finding Cleveland. So that started out as a short film, and we actually debuted it at the 168 Film Festival, which some of your listeners may be familiar with. And then we ended up taking the film on tour, and we really didn't know like what to expect. And we got such an amazing response at other film festivals, at other community screenings, and not just with the churches, but outside the church, that people were kind of hungry for this history. But also a lot of people, regardless of their ethnic heritage, were really interested in kind of reconnecting with their roots or finding out more about their heritage. Because especially in the United States, you know, we have people coming from all over the world who kind of made this country, right? That make up the fabric of this country. So there was so many conversations that were sparked. And I think beyond that, once we ended up making the feature film about Far East Deep South, that plunges deeper into so many issues that are even broader, such as just family separation and, you know, growing up fatherless with my father-in-law. I always joke it's like his therapy session, the film. And also there's an element of just seeing racial reconciliation and seeing learning lessons from the past to bring to the forward. One of the things that our film also shows is that was a very symbiotic relationship between the African American and the Chinese American communities in the Deep South that very few people know about. And you know, that's a kind of a nice portrait, despite the dark times and the dark situations, of how people ended up relying on each other in order just to survive.
Yeah. Now, you, with your feature-length documentary, Far East, Deep South, you have entered that project, that film, feature-length, in a lot of film festivals, and has done really well, hasn't it?
We are really grateful that there's been such a fantastic response to the film. You know, we won numerous film festivals. Of course, we released the film right before the pandemic. So it was a little bit of a challenge because we had our world premiere at a film festival called Cinequest in California. And the next, like after the first two screenings, everything, the whole world shut down because of COVID-19. So we never got to experience the full film festival circuit like a normal film would. You know, there right now here in California, a major film festival here is the Newport Beach Film Festival, where a lot of the celebrities go. And we were supposed to be part of that film festival back in 2020 when it was canceled. It ended up going virtual, but those of you who know film festivals going virtual, it's still cool to be able to see films at home, but it's still not the same experience as being in a theater.
It's not as much fun, is it?
No, it's not. So we didn't get to experience that aspect. We are grateful that PBS, the public broadcasting network here in the United States, picked up our film and aired it. So it got to a very wide audience. And the good thing now that things are more open with COVID somewhat under control, or at least the symptoms are much more minimal now, we have been able to do a lot of community engagement screenings. We are continually to tour with the film, which, you know, a lot of people, when they think about the life of a film, you know, they think of it's only about a, you know, 18-month window that you release a film. And I just mentioned to you, we finished the film in 2020, and this is 2023, and we're still going really strong with this film. And so there is a path, I think, especially for documentaries, for a long tail of distribution and exposure for your film.
And now I want to watch it. And I will make sure you
get to watch it, Craig.
Well, okay. So anybody else that is out there, can any of us find it like on Amazon Prime? Is there a, where can we go to find it?
Not yet on Amazon Prime. For those who are in countries that have access to Canopy, that's Canopy with a K. Our film is, we have an educational distributor, New Day Films. And so it's available on Canopy through universities and also public libraries in certain countries. We have a deal with PBS. So when PBS airs it, it will stream for 30 days after that for free. Okay. However, I realize those international friends of ours do not get to watch it because PBS is only in the United States.
Right.
We have a few deals in the works that I cannot announce until they're official, but that will hopefully be able to get that film out to you, to a wider audience. But also, we do currently have a sales agent that is working on international distribution for the film. So definitely for your international listeners around the world, if you have any suggestions for distributors internationally, we would be happy to entertain that.
There you go. The film feature-length documentary is called Far East, Deep South, about the culture and the growing up of Chinese American, or Chinese, and then Chinese Americans afterwards in the Deep South in Mississippi. My family's from Texas, and there might be some cross-pollination with what happened there as well. Although that's more Latino in how that goes.
Yeah.
So
a lot of the Chinese from Mississippi actually ended up moving down to Texas.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah.
So there's quite a sizable population in Houston, there were actually Chinese that were ended up going to Mexico as well, because what people don't realize is back in the 1800s, early 1900s, labor was the big thing globally. And so, you know, sadly, the first wave of labor, right, was from the Africans that were, you know, unfortunately enslaved. And then, of course, when slavery, you know, became abolished in most of the world, the next wave of labor really came from Asia, and that was the Chinese and even those from India. And so you actually you'll find Chinese dating back, you know, longer than you think in a lot of parts of South America as well, because that the labor was needed.
Enjoying this conversation with Larissa Lamb, documentary director. Hope you join us in the next episode.
You've been listening to the Six Ways to Sunday podcast with Craig D. Forrest, brought to you by Matchstick Media International, dedicated to excellence in media through inspiration, vision, and education. To learn more, visit us on the web at matchstickmedia.org. That's matchstickmedia.org. Your generous donations, large or small, help defray costs for producing this creative podcast. Thanks for listening and subscribing.